Well, as an answer to the question, did the death of Marat therefore legitimise terror? I think that would be to overstate the role of one particular artefact within an entire culture of heroic revolutionary death. I think there are two directions one could take a response to that issue about the agency of the picture within its contemporary political moment. The first is it didn't stay hanging in the convention for very long, because revolutionary politics was so unstable that reputations were rising and falling and various groups were being executed by guillotine almost on a sort of, you know, weekly or fortnightly circulation of political change. By 1795, so only 18 months or a year and a half maybe after David had presented the painting to the National Convention, it was back in David's possession, because the Jacobins, who, in a sense, whose ideology, whose propaganda the painting was originally intended to be, part of a Jacobin strategy to hold on to Marat's reputation and thereby hold on to the violent potential of his constituency, yeah? They themselves had fallen victim to revolution. So Robespierre and his colleagues are guillotined in the middle of 1795. I think it's the middle. Excuse me if I don't have the dates exactly right. And at that point, David rather artfully asks for the painting to be returned, because he can see that it's neither going, you know, the political mood has changed, and what was a source of political credibility for him is now likely to be a political liability for him, because the mood of the National Assembly and the political mood of the nation has changed. So it's time as an agent of a particular political point of view is actually very limited. It's about a year, and then it goes back into David's ownership, and David keeps it right until he dies in, when is it, 1824 in Brussels. So, yeah. So it doesn't have much political agency in that way. It's a shame that this is a taped interview and not something which has video as well, or perhaps an additional image could be appended to the website, because one must, however, see it in that short period of time between 1793 and 1795 as part of a theatre of martyrdom. And I keep sort of referring to the idea of theatricality in different ways. We've had Diderot, and we've had, if you like, the notion of the theatre of sentiment, which we could apply to famous paintings such as The Oath of the Harati. It's worth pointing out that the National Convention itself took place in a theatre. This is a room that no longer exists. The National Convention met in a building called the Tuileries Palace, which was eventually burnt down in the Franco-Prussian War of 1870. So it lasted another sort of 50 years or so, 50, 60 years. The Tuileries Palace had been built in the 17th century by Louis XIV and contained an extraordinary elaborate theatre with lots of very technically advanced stage machinery, but which was hardly ever used. It was used once when the room was opened in the 1680s, I think, around then. Maybe I'm wrong about that date. And then I think once subsequently, and then when the National Convention were looking for a suitable space in the Tuileries Palace, they had tried two other spaces without success. The second of them, the Riding School, they used for a few months. Then they moved to what's called the Salle de Machin, the machine gallery, because of this enormous mill of moving theatrical scenery, which is designed to accommodate. It also had a sloping floor originally. I have no idea whether the floor was levelled for the National Convention, but I suspect not. So, for a generation of politicians encouraged by the work of Diderot and David to think of politics as a sort of highly artificial theatre of rhetoric and speeches and gestures, the National Convention find themselves in an actual theatre. And the room itself is redecorated as a kind of, almost like a mausoleum. Clark thinks that the Le Pelletier and the David were intended to be displayed behind the tribune, which was an elevated platform built out from one of the theatre boxes that ran along the sides of this enormous rectangular space. And this means that if this is the case, and it's very difficult to be sure where exactly the paintings were hung, then this would mean that those speaking on the tribune would be framed by sort of pale green silk curtains embroidered with classical laurel wreaths, which framed a darkened space behind the actual speakers, like a small stage set itself. And if the Le Pelletier and the Marat were displayed in there, then the lighting of both paintings, it's these very clear spotlit chiaroscuro effects that both paintings have, would appear to be like theatrical lightings. And the dark background would make the whole space behind the tribune tomb-like. So it's basically that all the contemporary politicians are speaking from the mouth of the tomb of the martyrs of the revolution, which gives an enormous kind of psychological weight to their words and the way they perform. If you like, if the restless bodies of the dead rolling and groaning behind them, like, you know, see these kind of like, you know, reanimated kind of bodies kind of being stirred by the rhetoric that's actually going on in the room. And further, there's directly above, because the Salda machine had galleries on two levels, directly above there's an enormous trophy of French tricolour flags and bound bundles of fasces, the Roman symbol of Roman republicanism, statues of Solon, the draconian lawmaker of ancient Athens, and Plato, and other kind of key thinkers of the ancient world are on little pedestals, you know, or around the room. So the whole space in which Marat's painting is displayed is a kind of shrine to revolutionary violence, one way or another. You know, the metaphors are military and theatrical and commemorative, and there's a sense of the kind of rhetoric of early Republican Rome by having this tribune, having this podium on which people declaim to the audience of deputies in front of them. And the fact that probably the whole floor was sloping down towards one end of the room would probably make that experience even odder than it would otherwise be, if such was the case. So definitely, you know, the painting is as we see it today, is a fragment. It's symptomatic of a much wider culture of death within the French Revolution, celebration of death.